Once you found it, let's stand together for the reading of God's Word, Matthew chapter 6. And we're going to read there just verse number 5 to begin with. Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 5. Jesus is speaking here in this verse. And he says, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. For they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and in the corner of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward." And let's pray together. Heavenly Father, work in our hearts today. Lord, we want to have honest hearts and pure hearts, clean hearts. And may your word convict us and challenge us, and may you change us. And may our lives be pleasing to you. Help us to understand your word today, and then to love it and obey it and do what it challenges us to do. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. You can be seated. The title of the message this morning is Standing Hypocrites. Standing Hypocrites. We see these in verse number 5. Those that Jesus was condemning some and them as being hypocrites. And that when they prayed standing in the synagogues, really seeking to be seen of men was their desire. You know what? It's not really a person's actions that make them a hypocrite so much as it is their heart. It's the heart that makes a person be a hypocrite. The attitude of our heart. The motives of our heart, the sincerity of our heart, the condition of our heart, that's also important. Jesus was condemning these because they stood desiring to be seen of men. Where does that come from? Well, that's an attitude of the heart. And their heart was not right. God sees our hearts. God knows what's in our heart, and God knows the attitudes that are in our hearts. Turn back with me, if you would, please, and we'll come back to the book of Matthew. But I want us to look first at the book of Psalms. I want to show you a few verses there as God speaks to the condition of our heart and how he sees our heart. Your attitude, your motives, your sincerity, all these things matter to God. In Psalm 44:21, the Bible says that God knoweth the secrets of the heart. God knoweth the secrets of the heart. Look with me at Psalm chapter 12. Psalm chapter 12 and verse number 1, we'll read in just a moment. In the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 12, it says, "Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart." Serve him in truth, serve him in truth, serve him honestly, and so on, with all your heart, for consider how great things he hath done for you. You know what the Bible tells us here in the book of Psalms, that some people can even have a double heart. A double heart. Heard of someone maybe being two-faced. You know, a two-faced liar, what? They talk one way to one person, and then they talk another way maybe behind their back. Well, God says a person can have a double heart. A double heart. Here in Psalm chapter 12 and verse 1, it says, "Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fail from among the children of men." It says, "They speak vanity, every one with his neighbor, with flattering lips, and with a double heart do they speak." They speak vanity. They flatter with their lips to their neighbor. With a double heart do they speak. What does it mean? Maybe they talk one way to their face. They talk one way when they're trying to flatter them with their words. But they would talk another way behind their back. God doesn't want us to be like that. Verse 3 says, "The Lord shall cut off all flattering lips and the tongue that speaketh proud things." You know where pride comes from? The heart. It's a condition of the heart. God says that man can have a double heart. Look at Psalm 15 and verse 1. Psalm 15 and verse 1. "Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart." In his heart. "He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor." Certainly this thing of double heart can apply in many ways, but even in the Psalms we see some examples where obviously it was a problem where the psalmist is dealing with it, where there's those who flatter with their tongue and flatter with their lips, but in other situations they would talk completely different. Why? Because of the condition of their heart. Maybe because of pride in their heart. Maybe because of a sinful attitude in their heart. Maybe because of jealousy in their heart. Sometimes people will flatter one way to a person, but then talk completely differently. That's hypocrisy. That's hypocrisy. A person with a double heart speaks flattering words to someone's face, but they speak very different words behind their back. A person with a double heart perhaps speaks one way at church and then another way at home. A person with a double heart speaks one way when they're maybe trying to impress someone, and then a different way when they're alone. That's because there's a double heart. They're not speaking the truth from their heart. In Psalm chapter 17 and verse 1. Psalm 17 and verse 1. Hear the right, O Lord. Attend unto my cry. Give ear unto my prayer that goeth not out of feigned lips. Let my sentence come forth from thy presence. Let thine eyes behold the things that are equal. Thou hast proved mine heart. Thou hast proved mine heart. Thou hast visited me in the night. Thou hast tried me and shalt find nothing. I am purposed that my mouth shall not transgress. Here the psalmist was saying, I want you to attend unto my prayers. I want you to hear me when I call unto you. And he says, God, you can search my heart. I believe that if you search my heart, I believe that you'll find a pure heart and an upright heart. You see, God knows your heart and God knows my heart. He knows when a person's prayers come from a pure heart. Since God knows so much about our hearts, then I would suggest to you and to me that it's Him we ought to be trying to please. We ought not to be striving to please men. We shouldn't flatter with our lips or flatter with our words. It should be God that we're trying to please, because God knows our hearts. Turn to the next page, Psalm 19 and verse 14. Psalm chapter 19 and verse 14. Here the Bible says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable. You see, the psalmist knew it's not just the words that come out of my mouth, although that matters, because they can be a good indicator of what comes from the heart. But he said, let the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Turn to the book of Proverbs with me, if you would. Proverbs. As you're turning there, Psalm 119 says, blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. Psalm 139:23 says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. You see, God knows your heart. God knows your thoughts. He knows the thoughts and intents of your heart. He knows the attitudes of your heart. In Proverbs chapter number 4 and verse 23, Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23, the Bible says this, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Keep thy heart, guard thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Proverbs 23 and verse 7. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 7 says this. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. You know what goes on inside the heart of man is what really makes the man. What goes on inside the heart of man is what really makes the man. What you are is not what you pretend to be, but what you are in your heart. What you are is not what others think about you, but what God knows about you from your heart. That's why it's so vitally important what goes on in our heart. The book of Proverbs says we're to keep our heart. We're to guard our heart with all diligence, for out of it, out of the heart, are the issues of life. God knows every thought. And God knows every desire, and God knows every motive of your heart and every motive of my heart. God knows every attitude of our heart. And God knows when our actions and our words are sincere and genuine or not. Because he sees the heart. You know what, we could speak to someone and give words or flattering words or good words or words that make us seem real spiritual or good, but God knows if those are true or not. Because he knows what goes on inside your heart, and he knows what goes on inside my heart. God knows when our actions are real and true. God knows when our actions agree with our heart's condition and motives. And God also knows when our actions are maybe fake or false, or actions that do not agree with our heart. God knows when we're standing hypocrites, or when we're real and when we're genuine. God knows when our actions are just an act. You know what a performer does? To go up on stage and that they act. They're playing a role. They're playing a role of someone who they're not. And they're just acting. They're just pretending. They're playing a part. Sometimes could we even be guilty of just putting on an act. Pretending to be something. God knows when our actions come from a pure heart. Again, I proposed to you this morning that it's not really a person's actions that make them hypocrites so much as it is their heart. Their heart. A godly, faithful Christian who strives to live a holy life concentrated unto the Lord, honestly, they will have higher standards and a way of living than the average casual Christian. Because why? Because they want to live a holy life pleasing unto the Lord. But that doesn't make them a hypocrite. It's not actions that so much that always determine whether a person's a hypocrite or not. It's the heart. It's what goes on inside the heart. If a person is striving to live a holy life and they live a life with high standards and so on, and they're doing it because from their heart they want to please the Lord, they want to follow the Word of God, it's never right for you or I to point a finger at them and say, well, they're just a hypocrite. Look at how high and mighty the kind of life they live. You have no idea. You don't know the heart. Now, someone who pretends to be something, but then all the rest of the week they act completely differently, that's a hypocrite. Why? Because God knows that they don't agree. They don't agree. God knows when things are pretend or things are real. God knows when things are genuine or when things are just a fake. It's a person's heart that God looks at to see if a person is fake or real. It's a person's heart that God looks at to see if a Christian's actions are just an act or if their actions are motivated by a heart full of love for Him. God looks at a man's heart to see if our love for Him is pure and true. I hope that you and me both will have a heart that truly loves God. I hope that you and me both will have a heart that is pure and a heart that desires to please God, a heart that wants to honor God. I hope that would be the desire of your heart. Because if that is in our heart, then out from that should flow some actions that please God. And if there's a heart that's pure, then there should flow out of that a life that will please God. Why? Because our behavior will be different. Our actions will be different. Why? Because from our heart, we truly want to please the Lord. From our heart, we want to do those things which God wants us to do. I hope that we'll have a heart that is pure and a heart that truly loves God. Let me share with you a couple thoughts this morning from the Bible about standing hypocrites. Standing hypocrites. Number one, it is sinful attitudes of the heart that make someone a hypocrite. It is sinful attitudes of the heart that make someone a hypocrite. You know what? It's not external outward things. It's that make a person a hypocrite. It's something inward. It's something hidden from the eyes of man. It's something that God can see. It is things that are wrong and sinful in a person's heart that will make them a hypocrite. Let me give you four attitudes of the heart that are sinful and wrong. I said it's sinful attitudes of the heart that make someone a hypocrite. What are those sinful attitudes? Number one, an unclean heart. An unclean heart. You know, God knows if our hearts are clean and pure or if our hearts are filled with sinful things. God knows if our hearts are filled with sinful lusts and desires. In Matthew 15, verse 8 and 9, it says, "This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." Jesus says, there are people that they draw nigh unto me with their lips and with their mouth and in the way that they speak. It seems, oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. But Jesus said, I know that their heart is far from me. The way they're speaking is they're just putting on an act. I don't want to be like that. He says, in vain do they worship me. Our worship of God, our service for God, all that we do, Jesus said, it's vain, it's empty, it's meaningless to God when it comes from a heart that is impure. When it comes from a heart that is unclean, we can, well, I came to worship God today. I came to a worship service. You came to worship God. But do we have a heart that is impure and unclean and sinful? God wants us to love Him with all of our heart. All of our heart. And think about it. We can't do that if our heart is filled with sinful things. If our heart is filled with sinful things, how can we love God with all of our heart? We can't. It's impossible. God wants us to serve Him with all of our heart. And we cannot do that if our heart is not completely submitted to the Lord and willing to obey His word. What are the attitudes of the heart that are sinful and wrong? Letter A is an unclean heart. Letter B is wrong motives. Wrong motives. Look with me at Matthew chapter number 6 again, if you would. Matthew chapter 6. We're going to point out some things even here in this passage of Scripture that was our text verse. I want you to go back to Matthew 6 and verse 1. Four attitudes of the heart that are sinful and wrong. The first was an unclean heart. The second is wrong motives. Wrong motives. In Matthew 6, beginning in verse 1, the Bible says, "Take heed that ye do not your alms before men." Now, alms is deeds of mercy. They are acts of compassion to help the poor, the needy. When a person did almsgiving, it wasn't giving their tithe, it wasn't giving offerings, it was seen, well, here's someone that is poor, so here's someone that has a need, and almsgiving was that kind of gift. Looking, trying to care for someone that was poor or needy. It was a specific type of giving. He says, "Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret. Thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." Stop there and listen, if you would. When we do what we do to be seen of men, we're acting like a hypocrite. Jesus said, if you are like those that, for their almsgiving, there's someone in, and here's somebody that he's a beggar at the side of the street, and they come and we blow the trumpet in, and look at me, I'm going to help. We want them to know what good things we've done. That's wrong motive. Now, if God wants to help the poor and the needy, He does. But He doesn't want us to do it where we're trying to bring all the show to ourselves, and we're trying to bring all the attention to ourselves. If we do it that way, that's wrong motives, isn't it? When we're doing it, the Bible said, to be seen of men. They were doing something good, but with a wrong motive. They were simply doing it to be seen of men. Going to help the poor, going to help the needy, but doing it with a motive in their heart to be seen of men. And Jesus said, that's not the type of almsgiving that God will bless. God's not going to honor that. They have wrong motives. Listen, we should do what we do to please God. Are there things sometimes where we maybe do it with a wrong motive? We do it to be seen of men. We do it for some other selfish reason, perhaps, than instead of just doing it to please God and honor God. Four attitudes of the heart that can be sinful and wrong, an unclean heart. Letter B is wrong motives. And letter C is feigning spirituality. Feigning spirituality. The word feigning is used sometimes in the Scriptures, and it's referring to someone who is just faking it. That's what the word feign means. It means really to be, it's dishonest. It's like wearing a mask. It's fake. It's not real. Someone who's faking it. You know what? Faking spirituality is when a person is pretending to be something that they're not. Look again there at Matthew 6 and look down to verse 5. When he gives this example of standing hypocrites, of those praying, I believe it's that they were faking spirituality. He says, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. For they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, For they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. For their much speaking. You know what? It's not long, fancy prayers, but believing God that will get the answer. It's not long, fancy prayers, but believing God that will get the answer. He condemns here and speaks of those that were standing hypocrites. He says they use vain repetitions. He talks about long speaking and much speaking. Why would somebody do that? Well, maybe to try to impress others. They're called upon to pray. They could just offer a simple, humble, short prayer. Do they need to pray for 3 or 4 minutes and use, you know, all kinds of words that most people don't understand? You know, that'd be doing feigning spirituality. And of course, that could be seen and done in our lives in many ways where we pretend to be something that we're not. When a person is simply putting on an act, when they're wearing a mask, they are acting like a hypocrite. They may be trying to talk like someone that they're not. They may be trying to pray like someone that they're not. They may be pretending to be more spiritual than what they really are. Listen, God does not want us to be like that. He wants us to be honest with Him. God wants you and me to be honest with Him about our spiritual condition. We cannot fool God anyways. Think of it. We cannot fool God. You can't fool God to make Him think that you're more spiritual than what you really are. God knows you. God knows every thought of your heart. God knows everything. He sees everything. And we should not pretend to be something more than what we're not. We should be honest with God and other Christians about where we're at in our Christian life and who we really are. That's not hypocrisy. That's being honest. And if we are not what we ought to be, what should we do? Well, we better pray and ask God and get His help to become what we ought to become. Be honest with other Christians and be willing to seek their help that, hey, I'm not what I want to be, but I sure want to be what God wants me to be. I want your help to become a better Christian. I want God's help to become a stronger Christian, to be more spiritual as a dad, as a father, as a husband, as a mother, as a Christian. We can seek God's help with that, but we need to be honest. Don't feign spirituality. Let's not fake it. Let's seek God's help to become what we ought to become. Be honest about our condition. It is sinful attitudes of the heart that make someone a hypocrite. We see 4 attitudes of the heart that are sinful. 4 attitudes of the heart that are wrong. First was an unclean heart. Secondly is wrong motives. Wrong motives. Thirdly is when we feign spirituality, when we're just faking our spirituality. And the fourth thing is pride. Pride. Turn with me over to the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke, chapter number 18. Luke chapter 18 and verse number 9. Luke chapter 18 and verse number 9. Jesus is going to speak and share a parable. It says there in Luke 18, 9, and He spake this parable unto certain, and there were certain people, certain men, which trusted in themselves that they were righteous. And despised others. The pride. It says, 2 men went up into the temple to pray. See, when Jesus tries to share this parable, He wanted them to see that in the story He's going to share, it's the same way they were acting. He spake this parable unto people who were trusting in themselves, oh, we're so righteous, and they were despising others. They were looking down on others. 2 men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank Thee that I am not as other men are. God, I sure thank Thee that I'm not like those sinners over there. God, I sure thank Thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. Oh, that Pharisee was so full of pride and looking down on others and thought that he was more righteous than others and condemning of others. It says in verse 13, and the publican standing afar off would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, Jesus said, "This man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted." God hates pride. Hates it. You and I are not better than anyone else, and we better not ever forget it. The only reason we can stand before God as righteous is because we are saved by the grace of God. There is no reason why I can stand before God except for having Christ's righteousness applied to my sinful old dirty record. My sins are washed away because of the blood of Jesus Christ. We are only saved by the grace of God. Look with me quickly at John chapter number 8 and verse number 1. Turn to the next book, the Gospel of John chapter 8 and verse number 1. John chapter 8 and verse 1. Four attitudes of the heart that are sinful and wrong are an unclean heart. Wrong motives. Feigning or faking our spirituality. And the fourth thing is pride. Pride. When we're pretentious, when we think that we're better than others. John chapter 8 and verse 1. Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives. And early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said unto him, "Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act." She was caught in the very act of adultery, in other words. "Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou?" This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground, as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, "He that is without sin among you, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her." And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. Jesus, they were coming. They were all ready to condemn, and they wanted to stone this adulterous woman. And Jesus says, "He that is without sin, go ahead and cast the first stone." God smote their conscience. The words of Jesus were like the words of God, man, because they are. They pricked right to the heart and convicted them. One by one, they began to back up away from that crowd, that lynch mob that wanted to come and stone that woman. They were convicted and they began to back away. But notice what Jesus says, verse 10. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, "Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee?" She said, "No man, Lord." And Jesus said unto her, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." Go and sin no more. Did Jesus know that woman was guilty of sin? Sure he did. But he did not want the Pharisees standing there like a bunch of hypocrites, pointing their finger at that woman and condemning her. Jesus wanted them all to remember. He wanted them all to have a lesson they'd never forget, that they were sinners too. And our lives can be gloriously changed by the grace and mercy of God. He wants to change our lives. He does want us to become a very different person after we get saved. But He wants this. He wants our heart and our actions to agree. I very much believe that God wants us to live a different life. We become a new person, a new creature after we get saved. And God calls us to live a life of holiness. He calls us to live a life where we're separated from the world and separated from sins of the world. And that means you'll be different. You'll live differently as a biblical Christian than a lot of people out there in the world. You will live a very different life, but He wants your heart and your actions to agree. Your heart and your behavior to agree. He wants you to always remember it's by the grace and mercy of God that you get saved, and we're only righteous because of the change that He can make in our lives. Is your Christianity this morning, is it real or is it just an act? Is our spirituality, is it genuine or is it fake? Is your love for God, is it sincere from deep within your heart? Or is it just something that we put on for a show? You know, we can maybe fool other people for a little while, but we cannot fool God. We can maybe even fool people for a long while, but we cannot ever fool God. We can't fool Him. He knows what's in our hearts. And God wants a holy life that comes from a holy heart. God wants a holy life that comes from a pure heart and from a clean heart that truly loves Him. I said this morning, it is sinful attitudes of the heart that make someone a hypocrite. Those four attitudes of the heart that are sinful and wrong are an unclean heart, wrong motives, feigning or faking our spirituality, and pride. Pride. Let me share with you one thought and we'll be done. Second thought. Inconsistencies. We've already touched on this, but inconsistencies in our behavior is what makes someone a hypocrite. Inconsistencies in our behavior is what makes someone a hypocrite. No one will see our inconsistency more than those within our home, our family. Why? Because they live with you 7 days a week. They live with me 7 days a week. Nobody will see my inconsistencies like my wife and my children. Nobody will see your inconsistencies like the family in the home where you live. Listen, you want your teenagers to live for God, they better see consistency in your life. You want your children to grow up and live for God and follow on in the Christian life, they better see a mom and a dad who doesn't just act like a Christian on Sunday, but then lives totally different Monday to Saturday. Why don't they want it? Maybe they've seen too much inconsistency. You wonder why your teenagers begin to the point where they become independent and start to become young adults. Why do they not want to follow? Maybe they've seen too much inconsistency. Do we practice what we preach? Do we live consistently from day to day in the same way? And when we do wrong, do we admit it? You can do wrong. I do wrong. My wife does wrong. But we're working hard to admit it when we do wrong. I have to apologize to my kids sometimes. I know my wife apologized to Ashley yesterday about something. Why? Because maybe Josh thought some action or some word wasn't appropriate. We don't want them to think, oh, you tell us how to act, or we hear you preach how Christian ought to be, and you just did what you're not supposed to do. Oh, we won't be perfect, but can you admit it when you do wrong? That shows that you're being honest. We ought to be striving for consistency. That our life on a Sunday and a Monday and a Tuesday and a Wednesday and Thursday, Friday and Saturday is consistent with what God wants it to be. And what you're striving to be and what you're telling them to be. When things do not consistently agree, that's when we're being a hypocrite. When things do not consistently agree, that's when we're being a hypocrite. Let me give you some examples of what I'm talking about. Our public life versus our private life. What you are in public. What you are when you're at church. What you are when you're at work. What you are when you're out in public and what you are when you're in private. If there's not consistency between those two things, that's when we're probably acting like a hypocrite. What about our behavior at church versus our behavior at home? Oh, how we behave at church. Again, when we think of feigning spirituality and we come to church and we want to all be a good Christian. But when we go home on Monday night and we sit down in front of that television and we watch some things that Jesus Christ wouldn't want to sit down on that couch and watch with us. Do you ever think about that when you're in front of your television or in front of your computer? Do you ever think, hey Jesus, would you be comfortable right now sitting beside me watching this program with me? If you don't think He would be comfortable sitting there with you, then can I be honest with you and with me? There's some inconsistency there. Because I guarantee you probably wouldn't want to say, hey pastor, I think we should set up the TV in church this Sunday, and I've recorded this program, I PVR'd it.
Is that true? PVR is a term. DVD'd it? No, you PVR'd it. That's a thing, isn't it? I PVR'd it. I don't even know what that is. I don't have one. But I PVR'd it, and we're going to, let's show it in church this Sunday. Oh, Pastor, everybody's going to love that program. Jesus will love it. You know what? There's some things that we wouldn't be comfortable with at church. Why are we so comfortable with them at home? There's some inconsistency. Our behavior on Sunday versus our behavior the rest of the week. Our kids are not stupid. Your kids are not going to be stupid. If they see our behavior on Sunday and our behavior the rest of the week and they don't agree, that's inconsistency. What about the words that we speak to someone's face versus the words that we speak behind someone's back? When you speak to someone's face, it's maybe kind words and good words and flattering words, but maybe when you're at home or maybe when you're away from that person, maybe you speak words that are very hurtful or unkind or mean. Whatever it may be. That's inconsistency. What about this? What we do when people are watching versus what we do when no one is watching. What we do, hey, how you work when the boss is watching you versus how you work when the boss is not watching you. We live in a day and age now where people can very easily be distracted from their work and do a whole lot of things that are just kind of personal when they were supposed to be giving their best to work. I wasn't planning on saying that, but God put it in my heart. Don't we live in a world now where everybody's got their phones and their internet and they've got access to everything? And you know what? They could spend an hour a day when they're supposed to be working and giving their best for the company. But they take 5 minutes here and 10 minutes here and 5 minutes here and 10 minutes here all throughout the day. And that adds up. And all that time where they were supposed to be working and when they were getting paid to work, they were busy on Facebook or they were busy with something else. What we do when people are watching versus what we do when no one are watching. When you're watching your kids and they know that you're watching them and they'll work hard at doing those chores or cleaning that room or cutting that grass and raking those leaves. And when you're not watching them and they begin to set down the rake and go, you ever did that as a kid? You ever seen that? There's inconsistency. What we are around others versus what we are when we're alone. Think about this. Your reputation versus your character. Your reputation versus your character. You know what? Your reputation is what others think you are. Your reputation is what others think about you. Your character is what God knows you are. Your reputation is what others think about you, but your character is what God knows about you because He sees your heart. What about this? Image versus reality. Image versus reality. And it kind of goes along with the last thing, but we live in a world where people are really trying to project themselves. They are trying to project an image of being something. But that's just image. That's just an image we're trying to project. We want to kind of influence to what people will think about us. Companies want a good image. Nowadays with LinkedIn. I joined LinkedIn one time. I think LinkedIn is the stupidest thing alive. If I can be perfectly honest with you. You know why? Because we're... And I don't even pay attention to it even anymore. So if you say, I'm not going to approve of you. I'm not. You know what it's all about? Trying to project an image. Trying to get, have the approval of man. Well, this man approves of me. This man. This person who I see a couple times a year, they approved me for these, qualities or these work characters. Oh, come on. It really doesn't matter if I got 1,000 people that approve of me. What matters is, does God approve of me? I could get 1,000 men. I could convince 1,000 people to approve of me. But God knows the truth. He knows reality. Are we trying to project an image? We need to be more concerned with reality. what the Lord knows about us, what the Lord knows about ourselves, what we, in our heart of hearts, know about ourselves, what we're really like. Inconsistencies in our behavior is what makes someone a hypocrite. Sinful attitudes in our heart is what makes someone a hypocrite. Let's get rid of those things. Let's get rid of some of those sinful attitudes, the unclean heart, the wrong motives, just the feigning or faking spirituality, pretending, acting, the pride, the great sin of pride that is so easily come into every person's life. We are no better than anyone. Only be by God's grace that He helps us to be what He wants us to be. Let's not be standing hypocrites. Let's be honest with God. Let's be honest with ourselves. And ask God to help make us what we ought to be. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, please convict us of Your word, Your message. Father, help us to have hearts that are pure and true. Help us to live lives that are honest. Father, help us. Many times we have areas of our life where we're not what we ought to be. And yet so often we pretend to be something else. Father, may we make things right in our life that are sinful or wrong. May we seek Your help in overcoming and putting away